Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of the blogosphere and such, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Hi, guys.
What up?
We have the full six-man crew back here tonight. We are seeing the return of Green, Black, and Northcasters.
What up?
Huzzah.
He's back!
He's back at last, and he feels so great. It's been three and a long, half long hours since.
Yeah, it's been three and a half long episodes since the show was great.
Everything is so swell. How are you? I'm doing well. That's good.
That's. I don't think anyone got that joke.
I'm back. Bitch. Cue the roll call. We're live.
Watching all the anime, Red Caster, Joe Raven.
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel.
Respecting the source material, Green Caster, Zenshi.
Actually White, Black Caster, Ransack.
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightred.
Trauma Inducer, North Caster, Saga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Otsukare! And welcome to episode 60 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Have we been doing it this long?
No.
I haven't said that in a while.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't.
We've been doing this for 60 years now?
It's a time paradox. 60 years? No, 60 schmeckles. I don't know.
Schmeckles.
That's exactly how much I bought them boobies for.
Sal, you're from the future. What episode of Cast Ranger does your team actually take over?
I don't know, but I can tell you which episode you die in.
Oh. And I don't know if I want to know that.
And you do.
I didn't know we needed to know that.
Well, all I'm saying is dibs on his bed.
Stay tuned when I reveal Pinkcaster's dad.
Cast Ranger the movie. Son of a Lightred.
Oh, can we make a movie, please?
Cast Ranger the movie. Farewell, Lightred.
Cast Ranger the movie. Episode Pink. Farewell, Pinkcaster.
Episode Pink.
Oh, yeah.
If we ever get off our asses and make proper drama.
That's in such poor taste, Ichi. Why you do this?
I'd go the Highlander route and just put Dust in the Wind in the entire movie.
We heard you.
No, I think that was a joke only I got.
Yep.
There can be only one on air.
Farewell,
Lightred.
Oh, yeah.
Just, oh no.
I was making the Deno joke.
Sure, that too. I was thinking Sadama Fami Kamen Rider.
Oh, no, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, God, I was like, no.
Oh, Jesus.
Such poor taste.
Oh, yeah. No, that was totally not intentional.
Oh, well, that just happened.
I just thought, you know, Sadama is totally a trope.
And I get that, but just they played to that trope on a very sensitive subject.
No.
Why they do that and ruin Sadama X for everyone.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
We need to give it a couple years.
So today we're talking about Drive episode 34, Ninja episode 16,
yeah.
And the Gaim Drive Full Throttle Movie Wars finally.
That fucking time!
Yeah.
For a movie called Full Throttle, it sure took its fucking time getting here.
Let's see. 6 months!
Yeah, that's about right.
Really? Yeah.
But, as always, before we get into that, we've got some news!
News!
It's time to do the news.
Beep, 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 beep.
And you all know what this means. Time for topless news. I'm your host.
Also me.
So,
my titties are out.
Not me.
And we gonna talk about some guys in spandex.
Yup.
So, first off, a bit of not actual reveal news, but this was a pretty interesting article. Apparently, there was an actual couple who had... supposedly it was their security detail / fellow attendees dress as Kamen Riders for their wedding. And they included the likes of Double, Wizard, Ichigo, Nigo, Kuga, and Ixa.
And Dark Kabuto's in there. Can I just please tell me that the guy dressed as Ichigo was the father of the bride? I just want to see Ichigo.
I think, actually...
Oh my...
There's a shot here of the groom okay, wearing the groom, Ichigo helmet.
I just want the father of the bride to be the guy dressed as Ichigo, so Ichigo, Ichigo can give his daughter away.
Yes. Sorry?
Is that Ichigo's helmet? Isn't that Shin?
No. Shin is very fucking ugly.
Yeah.
Shin's his mantra.
I love it. There's this one shot of them just sitting at the table. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
It's a fun little thing.
There was also video footage of this wedding.
Where was this?
Malaysia?
Yeah, it was in Malaysia.
Oh, okay.
Shafiq Mansour and Aimee.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the bride has an Islam look to her.
Malaysia's
so,
actually, yeah. I think Malaysia's where they have, like, that Kamen Rider convention.
Yeah, that's, I forget the name of it, racist? But there was definitely a convention.
No, imagine
going to a Kamen Rider convention. That'd be nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like Power Morphicon.
I'd be broke for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I will pay you with blowjobs.
But yeah, it was held June 13th in Taman Rinba Kiara in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
Wow, good on you, each.
So yeah, there's also video footage if you want to look for the article. I haven't watched it myself, but I imagine it's quite a spectacle. So yeah, that's pretty nice.
That's nice. It's really cool. I like that.
Moving on.
He said the name and I just, the cake with Bart, at least you tried.
So we got a bit more info about the plot of the Drive Machine surprise feature movie.
Machine Chaser getting his face smashed in? Is that what I'm looking at?
No, that's Super Dead Heat.
Sure, if you say so.
I'm going to have to take your word for it on this
Maybe that's what you're looking at. I'm looking at a very smashed
Machine Chaser. I saw
face.
A screenshot where apparently... For the third time now, Beltzon gets destroyed.
Oh, yeah, probably.
No, I just saw the signal axe impaled in Beltzon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh.
So apparently, according to this little summary, I'm not sure how much detail we mentioned about this before, but apparently the drive system was supposedly actually a program developed for the purpose of destroying mankind. So Dark Drive comes from the future... chasing Eiji, who is Tamari's son, and apparently Dark Drive just, like, thrashes Mach and Chaser at some point.
Wow. When was the last time we saw a Dark Rider?
Oh.
Bujinkan?
I don't think that
Dark
counts.
Kiva.
Was it Dark Kiva?
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you count Dark Decade, probably not.
Dark Decade doesn't exist.
Did that happen? No.
That was in the PS2
that was
game.
The video
that
game.
Doesn't have to count. That's like the Char X-78.
Doesn't
exist.
Dark Rider. Is there no?
Huh.
Unless
Kiva.
You could kind of count White Wizard as a Dark Rider.
No, I mean Dark.
Oh,
yes.
If you're gonna be the hard line about Dark Blank, then yeah.
Dark Kiva.
I guess. So yeah, the movie's gonna
now
be interesting.
We know.
So yeah.
There was a rumor. Funny that I mentioned Bujinkan because there was a rumor about the guy who's voicing Dark Drive. It's rumored to be veteran Toku actor Riki Okoyama, who previously voiced Bujinkan, as well as Joe of the Haze from Kamen Rider Black.
Awesome.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that.
I remember that name. I haven't seen that show in like
not
a
to be
couple
with
years.
Joe.
I recognize that name, yeah.
Not to be confused with Jin of the Gale from Beyblade.
Either of those things. Either of those...
Yes, he used Metal Trigger.
Yeah.
It's Shigeru Joe using Metal Trigger. We solved the mystery.
We did it, guys.
Yeah. There was another little bit of news regarding the second round of Gaim Gaiden. Apparently, Hase was spotted at the filming, which means they're going to have Hase in the films again. Which makes sense, because they're probably prequels.
Yeah.
We know for sure Duke is going to be. Knuckle, who knows? But Hase's in it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Moving on to toy news.
No. it's all.
I love how everyone listening is like, what? Tell us!
It's all gone awfully wrong.
So, everyone watching Drive may have noticed the little Murmur Mansion plushie that Q has.
Oh,
apparently, they're releasing those.
Oh, good.
Both of them.
Yay, so it's like Akiko's slipper and Asia's the DX
underpants.
Edgy boxers.
Nobody gives a shit.
I want edgy boxers.
It's so...
Wait, what shift card is that?
Is that it comes with a shift car, or is that shift car for size comparison?
I think
no, that's what you get.
No, it comes with the apparel shift car. I've seen this thing.
Yeah, you get it with a shirt.
Look, it's shaped like a shirt, and when you put it in the driver, it just says Karafuru. Wow, I've seen that thing.
I feel like I need to get that just so it can go. With
no,
my, no, just so I can go with my Rainbow Russia.
See, look, yeah. The shift car is shaped like a shirt.
Go back to that last picture.
We're looking at a shot of a girl.
The guy looks like he just, like...
It's a girl.
The male toy.
He looks like he just saw some shit.
They both look like they saw some shit.
Oh, God!
She looks, like, dementedly happy. He looks like he just saw some
God.
Shit.
Oh, dear God!
Yeah.
How
She looks surprised. He looks, oh, God, why?
I can't unsee.
What, sister, what did you do?
So apparently this set, which includes both of the toys and the shift car, is set for a retail price of 10,800 yen.
Oh, no,
which,
thank you.
$100 before shipping and markup is, wow.
Sister, what have we done?
They're like the rejects of the Addams Family.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Saturday and Muggsley.
This is like a very... This is like a more emo version of Gravity Falls or something.
Oh,
like.
Yeah. Except the reverse. The brother's the younger one.
Yeah, they're twins in that. But anyway.
Anyway, moving
it's
on.
It's goth emo Morty.
Moving on to more interesting toys. They've confirmed a complete selection modification. Gattak and Hyperzector.
I'm so sick and tired of complete selection modification. I'm entirely grateful for it, but it kind of... takes away from why you buy a complete selection.
How much is that?
That's the point. That's the rub for complete selection.
The price has not been released yet, but it's going to be probably over $200
yeah,
for us.
$200?
Like the DN driver is barely $300.
What?
That's the price I was told.
Because you get the gun and the
and all the cards.
And the cards. And,
this is comparable.
I'm sorry.
But the thing about that is you're going to buy the complete selection Hyperzector separately.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're two completely separate products. You're buying a complete selection modification Hyperzector.
I figured they was coming as a set because...
I think they just released them alongside each other because now they both exist.
Oh, yeah, see, because there are tags for each of them separately.
Yeah.
Dear God, I totally want... Why do I totally want...
Because one-to-one scale Hyperzector.
Because Kagami!
Because A, Gattak... B, fucking Hyperzector.
See, look at the
quality in that
game. I know, right?
If they made a CSM Hyperzector, I'd
Guys,
be happy.
Shut up. Look at the quality on that belt. Like, just take a look at the belt for 1 second. Look at that.
Yeah. Dear
okay,
Jesus.
Here's my problem. Complete selection was for people with a gorillion dollars in their wallet and nothing to spend it
gorillion.
On. The thing about the modification is they made them...
So accurate.
No, they're made lousier. They're like a in-between of deluxe and complete selection, but we won't see complete selection anymore because these sell better because making them lesser than complete selection allows them to be more affordable.
My only question is working clock up pads, yes or no?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Novato Zector has the exact same thing.
Okay.
Like, complete... We got complete selection Deno.
Yeah, and
we're not gonna
yeah,
see.
Yeah, that was what the suit actor wore.
An
like,
actual complete selection Kabuto series belt because modification is cheaper.
Yeah, I don't
as
know.
Soon as they announce complete selection B Zector,
good luck.
My days.
That's
fucking
when
complete
I lose
selection
my nut.
Is to Sword Zector.
Yeah. That's where I give my nuts.
Would keep fucking dreaming. I'm surprised we got this.
Would easily replace the fucking Sword. Just
no.
Imagine the 1-to-1 scale of that. Stand by. Would replace my Sword Shiv.
Yeah.
I think if they made a Dark Kabuto Zector...
That stopped working, because I
no,
think the battery is, like,
Kabuto
exploded
Zector,
and
I think
bled into the
whole thing. I'd like a Hyperzector. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
moving on.
So, we got our first look at... Well, not our first, but our first look at the full form of the Akaninja power-up.
That looks really
Chozetsu Akaninja.
That
which
looks really, really good, actually.
It looks really cool.
He's a fortress.
And there's a little standee here at a recent convention... But looking at the photo,
holy fuck!
It's not even this I'm concerned with. It's the fact that in this photo we're looking at, Right behind it is a display of Shurikenjin with a throne in which people can sit, apparently.
Yeah, and take pictures, because,
I'm like, that's amazing!
So I watched this girl, Japanese girl on YouTube, and she went to this toy fair, and she sat on the throne.
Do you know what his awesome. Helmet looks like? It just came in my head. Like, it looks like Mary Poppins' hat.
Yes. Oh my god.
He looks like a...
Like two of them.
He looks like a Hibiki rider.
Full of whoopins, helps humiliation go down.
An ass full of whoopins.
An ass full of whoopins.
That's amazing.
Helps the yokai go down.
She's feeling fine.
Name of Kevin's sex tape. Called it.
I think, looking at this standee, I think there's a tag here that says no pictures, but someone took one anyway.
This is probably what it's for, yeah. Like, they don't want this to get leaked.
That's funny. Good luck.
This is for your eyes only.
Yeah, so we talked about the changer already, so that's going to happen soon. Moving on to Power Rangers news. So,
fuck y'all!
Yay!
So there were some more licensing expo images for Dino Supercharge. And looking at the screenshots, it looks like we've confirmed that Endorph and Chaos are going to be in the show.
Oh, no, not Chaos. Fuck him.
I like him. No, I like the evil Statue of Liberty.
Wait, that's Chaos Theory.
That's chaos theory.
And here's the weird part. There's a shot of Kyoryu Gray, aka the Graphite Ranger, but it says Silver Ranger!
They're not going to call it Graphite.
Yes,
or Gray.
And then there's a shot of the actual Silver Ranger with no name.
Actually, they released pictures of several Power Ranger action hero like figures, and it said Graphite Ranger on it. I'm okay with him calling him that.
It isn't unique.
We'll call it the Granger.
As soon as I see a Graphite Ranger figure, I'm fucking picking it up. Yeah. I'm excited.
Are those like Battleizers for green and black?
I'll talk about next, because I have another story about that.
Sorry about that.
So...
I know, right?
In Dino Supercharge, they have the... Just like what Samurai did, they have Zord piloting specific forms now called the Dino Drive Armor, where they all get a second shoulder pad and a chest piece with a giant protruding battery across the chest.
I like it. I think it's cool. Of course you do, Lane. Of course you do.
You know what? I like it. I'm going to put it this way. I hate it less than the Samurai ones.
Nothing screams, let's sell toys, like jamming a battery in their chest.
Yeah. I thought the Samurai ones were awesome.
They're too clunky. They're too clunky.
The gold ones was cool.
Was it, Lane?
Yes!
Look, I don't like it. But at the same time, I don't really hate it either. Like, I'm really, really neutral towards this. No,
I think it fits the theme well.
Yeah, exactly.
It does work.
I could totally believe this was in Kyoryuger if I didn't know that it wasn't.
I believe that they could have done a better job without the giant fucking battery.
That too.
Yeah.
They could have still made it look nice while being thematic.
But instead,
that second shoulder
just
pad, you guys.
Fucking scene
interrupting. You know what?
Battery.
I don't mind the second shoulder pad. I like it.
Scene interrupting battery!
No.
Anyways. More Dino news. Apparently, Saban's Tumblr page confirmed that they are dubbing the 3 Dinosaur Sentai movie.
Woo!
Really?
Yep. Which is interesting because it means we're going to see Zeltrax again. And Goldar. Because they were in the movie in their revived
forms.
And
Jason!
And
Jason
the Battle Rangers.
Well,
yeah.
Pardon?
No, just...
Well, technically, Abare Black wasn't in that movie.
Wait,
fair.
What did you say?
He said Jason David Frank.
Oh, not what I heard.
What'd you hear?
And Frank.
What?
How? Why? And why?
On that note, let's watch the Diary of Anne Frank anime movie later.
No!
What? I have that.
No!
Don't! Get rid of it!
But no, just Jason David Frank. Hey, I'm on 2 of these teams.
Jason David
Frank. And he's not in the movie!
Apparently.
Jason David Frank plays Anne Frank.
Please no.
But no, it's funny because neither of the characters that Jason David Frank dubbed are in the original movie, so...
You're mainly...
Guys, here come the Nazis!
Summon an Anne Frank wig, just... Do it, guys!
Yeah, whatever. Alright, and more Power Rangers, but toy-related news.
Comic-Con stuff! Yeah.
They confirmed at the San Diego Comic-Con there is an exclusive item, which is a MMPR set of the Dino Chargers.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Like, who including cares? Green and white.
Hey, $30, that's
who
not bad.
Who cares? I like the Black Ranger. I do not want the stupid fucking battery.
Do you know one of the figure arts that they're releasing, Tamashii's releasing for Comic-Con, that's Comic-Con exclusive? SH Figure Arts Frieza Saga Goku.
Specifically Frieza Saga.
Yes.
They did original coloring Vegeta last year.
Yeah, but...
Oh, yeah, when he was on Arlia?
What's the difference for Goku in Frieza Saga? I don't remember. Different
gear? His shirt's, like, ripped up and fuck.
But that's half the time.
I know.
Whatever, I don't care. Moving along. The next toy to get confirmed was... The San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Legacy Saba Black and Gold Special Version.
I want it, but...
Priced at a whopping $175!
Yeah, well, Legacy Saba right now itself is $120
like,
for us.
The Golden Dragon Dagger, sure, totally okay with, but a Black Saba?
That's amazing!
Black
like,
Tiger Power!
What if the White Tiger Ranger became the Black Tiger Ranger? Like, how awesome would that be?
He'd become the Panther Ranger.
Yeah, he'd become Bagheera.
That's what I was going for, but sure.
Black Power. I wouldn't pay that much
because
to get it.
Because whoever heard of a tiger that's got a black and a variant of the red spectrum?
Well, no, you've clearly never seen Beastmaster.
No, it'd be a panther, and it'd be Black Panther.
It'd be Black Power. Puma!
Black Power Ranger.
No.
And the last bit of toy-related news is, moving along with the Artisan series, since we had Shinobi Maru and Rodeo Maru, apparently they're doing Super Sentai Artisan Shinkeno.
Oh, well, no, they also did one for Tokyo.
Did they?
Yeah, they gave him, like, die-cast parts
the
and stuff.
Pardon?
Okay.
Oh, good, now you can have a die-cast train penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop pollen.
Oh, yeah, but
that's what I call a Steely Dan.
They showed more pictures of Rodeo Maru. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, we already talked about Rodeo Maru.
Holy shit! 16,000 yen. Get out of here!
Yeah.
Go on! Get out of here!
I love how the advertisement picture for it shows a standee next to it of its fucking... parody Odin form from the first time they tried to form Shinkeno and fucked it up.
Oh, that's funny.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Was that just them trying to pull a reboot? Remember in reboot when they were trying to make the robot?
Now I agree with you, but that's probably not what they were doing because they were actually making a joke about food that's just things
I also don't think anyone in Japan has ever seen reboot.
That probably also.
Imagine a Japanese dub of reboot?
They tried it with Beast Wars and it was meant to be comedy now.
No, just the Nullzilla episode. Uh-huh. Just that.
Wakamoto Norio as Megabyte.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Just fucking yes.
Hey Raven, nice to hear from you.
Whoa!
Quoth the Raven.
Yeah.
Ryusei Nakao?
Yeah.
However you pronounce his name. Hexadecimal.
Oh, shit!
Yes, please!
That would be like...
And you were... That's the voice of Frieza, right?
Yes.
Who also voices Sugamori in Ninja, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Caesar Clown in One Piece.
And that one monster from Deno who got the introduction
by Jelly Emotion.
Yeah. The one who got the first Xeranos introduction.
Huh? Yes.
Tomokazu Seki is Enzo because Enzo deserves the Seki wine.
Goodness gracious.
Reboto!
Nobuyuki Hiyama is Bob.
Hiyama is Mike.
Yeah.
Mike is that TV!
Because yes.
Yes.
Sure.
I give you that one, Lane.
Y'all need to go outside.
No. We all need to go outside. It's fucking hot in here.
I would love to go outside.
I'd love to see Sugita as Cecil.
We're half an hour in and we've just done news.
No, Romy Park is Mouse.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, Sugita is Turbo.
Enough with the fucking...
Moving on! Okay. All right,
Rosa
so,
Parks is not Matrix. No, I'm kidding.
This is so hot.
Okay.
Hot damn.
For fucking sakes.
Okay, we're gonna move on to Drive. All we need is Drive. So, the Drive episode pretty much opens with crime happening in the forensics lab, of all places.
Well, it actually starts more with Tamari laying down peacefully in a nice grassy knoll, where he's just sort of taking a chill pill and, like, sleeping off
the street. I just beat the guy.
Then he gets Epicurico upskirt.
Right? Yeah. How could you miss that? Started with a crime in the forensics lab. No!
I'm trying to keep it short, but you're right. And then he fucking somehow leaps up high enough, even though the trajectory wouldn't have projected him anywhere near her face, and slams her right in the fucking head.
That was funny. So she wears
that comically large band-aid on her forehead.
I'd like to slam
it
her right in the head.
It was on her hair. Yeah.
I know, right?
No, I like it later on. She actually did take it off, and she was like, she took it off, and she's like, eat that. It was tugging her hair.
Yeah.
If she put it on her hair.
As you all saw, probably watched, the whole plot of this episode was apparently the evidence that had the gun that killed Tamari's father is gone, missing, so they're trying to find out who actually killed him. And they find out! And it was Neera!
Way to spoil
it! Yeah. We're just discussing it's number four of the episode.
It was Neera, which... I'm just.
I was
kind of
shocked.
We just elevated him to severe douchebag.
No, because that episode where he's talking to Tamari and stuff, and I'm like, oh, he redeemed himself. It was you, Neera.
You fuck.
Hey, remember that conversation we had where most of us like, no, he did not redeem himself. He decided, hey, I just got abandoned by 001. I should probably go with the guys who could actually maybe stop him if they maybe were given a chance.
You know what weirds me out though about that this whole thing. In this episode, he says to Tamari, yes, go ahead and find the truth for your father's sake. Even though it's sort of going to fuck him over.
Yeah.
He didn't actually...
I guess he was sort of counting on Hart to finish him off.
Yeah. Hey, let's stick Hart on him. See what happens. And go, typewriter.
Yeah. Can we talk for a moment about the fangirl of Drive in the forensics office?
Yeah.
That was kind of cute.
I thought that was funny. I was wondering why something like that hadn't happened yet since Drive's identity was revealed, but now we got it.
And she likes to eat what look like either hamburgers
or pancakes.
Or chocolate full of
pancakes. It was those things that the guy, like,
I'm
he's
trying
like,
to
oh,
remember
I
what they're called.
Ate with my father all the time.
Dorayaki, I think.
Okay.
And they're like little... They're like little, very thin sort of pastry things with red bean paste in them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is that a dessert?
Because it's delicious.
No, it's not.
I've had red beans.
Okay. So quite delicious.
I have
fuck
a Chinese
yourself.
Girlfriend. Of course I've had the red bean stuff for dessert.
You've had durian snacks. Nothing surprises me
anymore. Oh, God, no! Please,
I'm
no!
Sorry.
Those were delicious, though.
Almost fuck
has
you.
PTSD.
Yeah, right.
My second fuck you.
We'll smell out our house for an entire night.
Kevin, sloppy seconds, fuck you.
Gross.
They were delicious. It tastes really nice and sweet.
No one cares.
Absolutely
you people disgust me.
People
I've done
camera.
You as two people. You guys both disgust me.
Why? I didn't like it.
Give me back those berry Oreos we had.
These guys over here
Berrios.
Disgust you.
Those cucumber Lays.
Yes.
Anyways.
You
people!
Is that video even... We haven't even fucking put this video up yet. Fucking assholes. Get to work! So, speaking of getting to work, this week we got to see Trideron's People Saver tire. Which
among
is...
Among other things, considering how many times you went type Trideron.
Yeah.
See... I understand, how it works is that he can use three tire abilities at the same time, but I kind of wish there was more out of it.
No, I think it's plenty. I mean, it's maximizing efficiency of the tools at hand.
But you know what? As I was saying, American Dream is going to be the Jimba Melon of the show. Why? Because
what the fuck
does he have? What's he going to do with it? What's he going to do with it?
Blind someone.
With what? Coins?
With flashy lights.
Sure! And then what?
Just vomit a rainbow.
Then what, drive them somewhere with the pay as for money afterwards?
No, like, Dimension...
Drive them off to a farm.
Dimension Cab
kids.
Will, like, pop flashlights, like, flashbangs in every direction in different places all at once.
No, okay. This is how, how American Dream would work in a situation. He'll use Dimension Cab to summon a giant, like, circle to transport people out of harm's way.
Did I miss something?
And then they use Dream Vegas and Amazing Circus to flash lights and coins at the enemy to distract them.
Seriously, I think Paul was the only one who got that.
What? I'm thinking about this shift car.
What?
This shift car that people just get into. It drives people places, but in the back trunk, there's, like, a rifle.
What?
I made a comment during that.
I didn't hear.
They're gonna drive him off and drive him off somewhere. Is that all it's gonna do? Yeah, it's gonna take him to a farm with kids.
And
Paul died because he's the only one who got
a rifle in the back or something. And it's just the car murder.
It's what parents tell kids happened to their pet that died.
Oh,
really? It's just him.
So it was like an old Yeller joke or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He was a good dog.
But yeah,
that was
so
awful.
People Saver is pretty cool. He catches the monster and then, like, he injects Mad Doctor into the one dude, and I'm like, oh, that poor, poor man. Sure, he's gonna feel good eventually, but he's going through horrible pain right now.
Right. I'm pretty sure he had a heart of a building on him. I'm pretty sure he was going through horrible pain anyways.
Fair. Yeah, and we also get to see later this episode, see, I don't know how it's actually pronounced yet, but the translation is either worksite team or construction type, or construction site. I think it's like Koji Genta, something like that. It's pronounced similar to that, but I haven't seen the actual name written yet. Whoever knows, if someone knows what it is, just tell me in the comments. But yeah, I think that's my favorite one so far, because he's got the gravity weight to just bitch smack people and the drill to just ram in people's faces. I like it.
I like Brain this episode.
The face.
Yeah. Brain was awesome this episode.
Go did absolutely nothing!
Well, he's off experiencing drama. I don't know.
I understand, but I want more mock, goddammit.
We got locked! We got awesome mock development last week!
Another thing I really liked about this episode was, like, Chaser saved, like, Tamari and Kiriko from, like, a heart attack.
Oh!
Yeah, it took me years to fucking figure out that one. Tamari's just like, oh yeah, thanks, Chase. And he's just like, dude, you don't have to thank me every fucking time I save your ass.
There seems to be a pattern, so stop thanking
me. No, but it's true. He's a robot. He doesn't care if you thank him for saving you.
It's not about whether he cares. It's called being courteous.
Small wonder.
He doesn't care.
He's
a robot.
He doesn't have to care. It makes Tamari feel
except
bad.
For when he thinks Kiriko died in a Trideron exploding. Then that's when he fucking gets concerned.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Kiriko! I'm like, why do you care?
Well,
you robot, you don't have feelings.
Yes, he does. He's developing his emotions.
Yeah, if he can super evolve or whatever like that, I wonder what his emotion is.
Concern.
Love? Is it fucking love? It's probably
concern.
Love.
Does that mean? Does that mean we get to see a golden prototype Zero? I'd like to see that.
And at the end of the series, he's just like, I now understand.
Well, no,
because
remember, all Roid Mutes start off with that, like, basic form, and then they evolve into something more. So Chase hasn't just evolved into something yet.
Chase doesn't have a viral core body type.
No.
Because he's the prototype.
But yeah, we got to see Brain evolve through jealousy, and
He gropes
he
Neera and gets all real Neera. Nice and close with him. And
well,
it's because
really he was going to fuse with him to become the thief, Roid Mute, and then that
sparked
his super evolution.
Well, it did, but then he, like, broke out of it. But right before they actually fuse, you get the scene where he's, like, hugging up to Neera real close, and it's super fucking creepy. But then Brain has always been the creepy one, so it's fitting. Plus, Neera is also his own brand of creepy, so they were a match made in heaven.
BT Dubs, the AI inside of that tablet thing that Ghost stole is apparently his dad.
Yeah, it's a copy.
It's
of
an
him.
AI copy of Professor Bono, who's voiced by Ichigo Kurosaki. We probably mentioned that before.
Yeah, we mentioned that last week.
Okay,
that's the voice of Ichigo from Bleach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Barnaby Brooks Jr.
Yes.
The other thing that was cool this episode is Heart, apparently, thanks to Medic, has the super slowdown powers now.
That was cool.
I love when Chaser kicks Brain off the roof and he just lands on it like there's a roof to it and
just lands on
slow.
It like, oh, crap, I can't do it like he can, no.
I'm fucking stuck here.
crap.
No, another little thing I know I like that I really noticed was he goes formula, Tamari goes formula, but then you see the dead heat shift card go into Kiriko's holder.
Because otherwise she's not going to be able to
move. Yeah, exactly. Because dead heat can survive the super slowdown as well. So
yeah, exactly.
That was cool. So,
the other thing I wanted to mention last week that I forgot to say was the whole plot with Go where he snatched the tablet and revealed that he was lying all along. I have to say, up until that episode, there was nothing about Go's character I've enjoyed, but that completely turned him around for me. Go is now one of the more interesting characters, I think.
Well, I loved Go from the start. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I'm glad he wasn't, like, evil.
The whole 001 thing and just how he was introduced when he was introduced and then killed off when he was killed off. Right from the get-go, 001 just fucking stank of weather to me.
Absolutely. He seemed like he should have been the endgame villain, but he's not.
Yeah, no, he was definitely endgame villain material. That's not the purpose that was meant to be served.
Because you know why? He's not. Professor Bono is.
No, okay, sure.
No, Brand's going to be endgame.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Brand's going down within the next few episodes.
The thing is,
it
seems like Brain is pulling a gremlin where the creepy side villain turns out to be the final boss.
It wouldn't
surprise me if he was not, but that's where it's heading right now.
Because they haven't shown any scans of Hart's evolution, so he's not getting one.
Which is weird, because he has very much the method with which to do so.
No, but he's not joyful right now. He's pissed off.
He would need to kill Tamari.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I feel like Hart's best method for there, and I've said this before on the podcast probably, he needs to just have a one-on-one with Go.
Yeah.
Fucking mock dead heat versus Hart.
Yeah.
But you want joy in battle? Here's a guy who's using the exact same fucking power you are and can control it better.
But that's not what he wants. He thinks Tamari's this godsend to him because Tamari exists.
Because of that one time in episode 10. Yeah,
and that's why he's not going
and
to
he's
evolve
kept
because
doing
he's
it ever
calling
since
it wrong.
He's he keeps exceeding expectations and then Hart just can't keep up. He won't be happy until he beats Tamari.
Yeah.
I don't, like,
thinking about this whole emotion thing, you gotta wonder what Medics is gonna be. So far, it's been nothing but sucking Hart's dick.
Lust.
I hope she just... I hope Medic just dies in the
ironic
episode.
She's gotta just get gangbanged real good.
Yeah, just the drive,
real
drive
good.
Chaser mock double attack.
Looking like Zorn and Thorn from FF9, not bloody likely.
Like, just gotta get railed real good.
Just
rail or wrong.
Just right on a Mustang, three different sacks. Just
she's gonna bang. Be calling. She's gonna be calling for a medic after they're done with her.
Oh!
Wow, Lane, that was good.
I'm just hand them out tonight.
You're full of it, all right.
You're just full of good stuff.
Yeah.
Full of something.
A three wood chip.
Alright, anyways, next week, Nera still being a douche and...
And Brain has successfully golden armor digivolved.
Yeah.
Moving on to Ninja. Shuriken Sentai! Neo Ninja!
AKA...
So,
how their father got his group back.
Yeah, accurate.
Yes.
So,
wow, Paul. Must have taken you days to come up with
so,
that.
So, mainly the focus of this episode, of course, was just...
Tsumuji.
Fuka and Takaharu's dad just being like, I tried to be a ninja, I couldn't do it, some jutsus.
He was a prodigy growing up, apparently, but at some point it just stopped working.
Okay. Did I call it or did I call it?
Oh, that there was going to be a Daddy Ninja episode?
Yeah, like his whole, like, almost Shinken Brown style, like, him trying to help.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm helping! No,
and what was it? No, and what was it that boosts his powers? The love and caring of his family.
Aww. For one instant and then never again.
Guys.
Technically, he used it twice.
Fair.
Guys, that's what being a ninja is all about. It's about family.
Well, it is his
sure.
That was his mentality.
I like the yokai in this episode. He was very funny.
Yo, I didn't look it up, but I'm like 95% sure that Kabekase, whatever the fuck his name was voiced by the guy who does Kon from Bleach.
Well, no, because this yokai was like an umbrella one, and that's a pretty...
made from a fountain pen.
Yeah, that's a pretty
somehow.
Common... That's a pretty common demon in Japanese folklore,
that's
isn't it? Like
why,
a jumping umbrella.
No, I remember.
That's why Star Ninja was so happy about it. Oh my god, you're famous!
Yeah, I remember. His name is Kasabake.
Yeah.
Yes. And I thought he was
good. Yeah, Umbrella Ghost.
I liked him because honestly, half the time he was just pretending to be this umbrella, and their father like came out of the grocery store. He went to the grocery store.
The best part was the fact that the sale that he went to the grocery store for was all part of Sugimori's evil plan.
I know. It's like he's going...
And the store honored it.
It's like, I'm going to go buy
eggs.
No,
it was actually... it was an actual fucking sale. Sugimori was just like, oh, hey, a flyer.
No, it's just he was just kind of like, I'm going to go to the grocery store, I'm going to go buy some eggs. And he's like, meh, heh, heh, heh. It's all going according to plan. I'm just like, no, you set that all up.
That was like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers level ideas right there. Just like, we'll take over the grocery store.
The best way to get to the Power Rangers is through their parents.
Ichi, you were right.
What?
He's voiced by Kon.
I totally called it.
Yes. Mitsuaki Madono.
Yeah.
I gotta say,
also voice of Adachi.
Oh, okay.
I gotta say, though, yeah. I actually really like, though, in the episode when he's fighting the yokai, and, like, his kids and nieces and nephews, they're all, like, in the behind-the-scenes helping him out. I thought that was cute. Like,
yeah.
Dun Dunja!
Just start stomping.
Actually, I loved it, too, like, just because I guess this is him just getting old in his own way. Oh, really? When he tries to do the tornado the first time, he can only barely muster a little wisp, and he's like, ah, my back.
No, my favorite time where he attempted it and failed was actually at the end of the episode where he does the pose and Kasumi comes in just in time with a little paper fan and you see it blow like just a little bit and she actually makes the dickest comment ever.
Not even the strength of a...
Weaker than an electric fan.
Weaker than an electric fan.
No. You bitch!
No! Light Red Ranger is allowed to be condescending because everyone needs to get on her level.
Yeah. Fact.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that is fact.
Who's it this? Is, she's not being...
Kasumi.
She's not
Light
being,
Red Ranger. Okay.
She's
Light
not
Red
being
Ranger.
A bitch. Everybody's got to get on her level.
This is fact.
These are big facts. A few of them.
Yeah. One thing in this episode that I liked is we finally got the full roll call of all six ninjas.
Oh, yeah. That was cool to see.
Yes.
Yep.
But, yeah. The other cool thing is when Tsumuji finally manages to muster up an actual Tatsumaki Jutsu, he actually combos it with Takaharu, and he pulls off the Tatsumaki Ninretsuzan, and I thought that was awesome. And then, like, Kasabake is like, you spun faster than me, unbelievable! And my immediate thought was, he's a better Beyblade than you will ever be!
He's in the Street Sharks!
Let's go, Beyblade!
What was the name?
Yeah.
What was the name of Kai's group in that thing?
The Blade Sharks.
Oh, the Blade Sharks. Oh, yeah, well, the Street Sharks was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ripoff.
The Street
ripoff.
Sharks.
That was a ripoff.
Jawsome.
He's got pants.
Jawsome!
He's got pants now.
All stars are best.
They had pants now!
Exactly. So, yeah, that was pretty much it for the episode. That was pretty much it for the episode. Apparently, next week, the name of the episode is Goodbye Star Ninja, which is raising some questions. But
which
we also
flat out said in the promo that, the deadline is up.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, okay.
So this is more less of a...
Which means he's probably going to go to QMon.
Yeah.
But we also get Surfer Maru next week, apparently.
Woo!
I'm actually really interested to see that.
Cool.
Dude.
Radical.
Surfer.
Reaganomics.
No, what's that one word from the Jontron video that, like, he said
swood?
Something else?
Swood?
Oh, yeah, but it was clearly swoop.
Yeah.
No, this is swood. That's what I'm calling this.
He must have been one swooed guy.
Swooed this. Swooed that.
You couldn't stop me. Zip soft thud.
Yeah, so that's about it for this week's episodes. Let's move on to the movie.
Featured topic.
All right, so the movie wars, we finally got to see Full Throttle.
Full Throttle. Throttle.
My favorite of the DOS LucasArts adventure games. Because I had to. So we start by seeing Coda's planet, which is fucking gorgeous.
It looked like the Animarium from Wild Force.
Right? It's a big freaking ladder with an atmosphere.
Coda developed the Animarium.
Oh.
He created the Wild Force swords.
He's Animus.
Are you choking on your own joke?
Yeah.
Are you
That's the joke.
Yeah. So we meet the villain of most of the movie, Mega Hex.
The Borg.
Who's voiced by Shinichiro Miki, a.k.a. the Genesis driver, a.k.a. fucking...
Okay.
What are you guys doing?
I just want to talk about Mega Hex quickly.
No.
I think he's a very... No. He's a cool villain, but they're all fucking stupid. I counted four. Four fucking times they tried to destroy him, and they were like, yeah, we fucking got him this time, and I'm just yelling at the movie going, you want to kill Mega Hex? Destroy the fucking thing up there! That's Mega Hex!
Yes, yell louder, Lane. Maybe
destroy
that's why I'm going to hear you.
Destroy the space anus.
Have Randy Quaid fly a plane into that shit, and then we'll relay it across the earth.
No, but this was literally this entire movie of Destroy Mega Hex was just fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Fool me four times, we have a movie.
With an ending that pulled its aesthetic.
But yeah,
me
and
Ichi
have a me
Death
and Ichi and Raven
Star
have.
Stop talking
I'm
over
sorry.
Me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The ending looked a lot like the Death Star finale.
Oh, for
yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
Fuck's sake.
It had a trench
but no,
and everything.
Me, Ichi and Raven have all agreed that Mega Hex is pretty much the Geth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is the Borg.
And
yeah,
the Borg.
It fits well
Cybermen.
Into that trope. But yeah,
the whole we're going to assimilate your planet. To be has been done to death. People, let's stop using it.
But yeah, he's voiced by Shinichiro Miki, who also did the Genesis driver.
Sieg
from Deno.
Also Urahara from Lock on Stratos.
He's
been in a lot of things, including Escaflowne.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan Chazar from Escaflowne.
Who is this?
The voice of Mega Hex.
It's just the Genesis driver?
Yeah.
And
Urahara.
A million other things because
well,
he's an
yes,
in
but
the
most
Gaim
importantly,
Kondori,
the
Genesis
driver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, this guy can make copies of himself, he can make roid mutes, he can make invis, he can fucking digitize people who have already been dead.
And it's
hence
all...
Duke and Baron.
And it's all with hexagonal-shaped weaponry. Oh, there's Nate.
You did it.
Did this movie start on Gaim?
Yes. It
oh.
started with Mega Hex invading Coda's planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of fucking blew Coda up, for God's sake.
And, well, not immediately, but...
No, but he did.
I like
yeah.
how... Sorry, go ahead.
Coda spends most of this movie deadst.
Yeah.
Like, deadst.
Well, most of his arc.
Uh-huh.
Or he backed him... He made a backup of himself in the Kiwami Lock seat.
Because everyone does that these
because
days.
Because the Kiwami Lock seat is fucking Coda.
Yes.
Yep.
Because I mean, everyone backs themselves up in things these days.
Does it...
Belts on...
Right. Backup. That's what that is. No, but
sure.
And apparently this is like a recurring like
original
joke right now in the Toku community. But
yeah.
Just when Tamari meets Gaim, when Tamari meets Coda, he's just like Coda's
no,
like,
you
oh, you have
me.
A tire stuck in you, like you know that, right? And then it's like, who
hey,
are you?
Look, it's the reaction of everyone when we first saw Drive.
Oh, who am I? Who are you? Oh, I'm Kazuo Bakoda, Kamarada Gaim. I'm a some kind
I
of space god, I think.
I'm a god, I think.
I lost my shit.
I run a planet. It's pretty nice. Well, used to be.
Okay.
He still hasn't wrapped his head around the idea that he is God.
Yeah.
Okay. So can I? Okay. So during the course of the Gaim portion of this movie, it mostly centers around Michi and Takatora, and they're going to go fight the Mega Hex robot as the only two riders that can possibly Henshin in the
yeah,
whole...
Yeah, so the only two people who still have a... Well, Michi,
robot.
I'm the only one with the belt!
And then he manages to snatch a spare belt from the shattered remnants of one of the Kurokage troopers that Mega Hex spawns.
Keeps making mooks with Sengoku
and then
drivers.
What I call fucking hacks is
I don't know why he wasn't able to grab the second one if the first one
at
survived.
At the original team,
maybe
like,
the second one didn't
at the
survive.
Former Team Gaim base, just there happens to be because
that's their disaster headquarters.
There happens to be a Helheim plant there. That happens to have one Helheim fruit where Takatora pulls it off.
It's because of Mai.
Because
okay,
Mai.
Whatever.
Oh, right, okay.
And
there
also,
go.
Okay.
And it happens to be a Melon Lock seed. And then what I like to fucking call hacks, because this is actually the first time I'm complaining about a belt mechanic. He puts on the bell, puts the Melloc seed, magically fucking has Zungetsu.
I'm going to refute your ass on that one.
Refute away.
When he copied the Sengoku driver, he copied a first gen.
But then it would have been set to Kurokage.
Except they were robots, not people.
No, but it had a great, great belt strap.
The idea is that the first version of the belt wouldn't have worked unless it was set to someone.
Yes, but here's the thing. It didn't set itself to anybody for the initial set because it wasn't a person.
Surprise, this movie's not canon.
Oh.
Or is it?
Actually, I take it for it is.
Lupin's canon.
No, it is canon to Gaim because of what we just talked about, and it's canon to Drive because it's the introduction of Blinky Gizmo Mark II, which they talk about in an
that
episode.
That thing that lets Getten walk around in slowdown.
Okay, children's show.
That
there.
They never introduced.
There's Plan B!
So there's a scene in which Michi and Takatora are fighting against the Mega Hex robot up on a bridge, and he's got him in a
full Nelson,
and I swear to God this is the funniest thing I've ever seen because once more Michi is
pointing a gun at Takatora,
faced with the oh my God, I have to kill my brother. And I'm just like, you did it once.
It's just like, I have to kill my brother. Everyone's like, again? Again.
That Michi! Wah, wah!
Civicon credits are rolling, and let's continue with the podcast. But honestly, that was a lot of... Like, I saw that... I believe we
skipped something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he fought fucking...
Sengoku Ryoma Dragon Fruit Energy.
Who was Bane.
Somehow Mega Hex, I don't know how it happened or if it's, I don't think it's actually Ryoma because that would imply that Mega Hex would have had to come to Earth first and then somehow gathered up Ryoma's corpse off the floor and digitized him to reanimate him.
And then gave him Bane's face.
So that's why my theory is this is not Ryoma but just a copy of him from Coda's memories. But for some reason, he spawned him with, basically Bane's fate.
When that got removed, holy shit.
Then he became the Terminator.
Face. Yeah.
I love, though, how, from now on, if a bad guy's wearing a mask that only covers his lower face, like just his mouth, Bane.
Yeah.
It's Bane.
That's the joke everyone's going to make from now on.
Rosa Crota. Just
looking at him. If we take that off, will it hurt?
Yes. For you.
The one thing I specifically wanted to mention is when he first henshins into Duke Dragon Fruit Energy Arms, the cinematography of that shot probably makes this my favorite henshin of all time.
Of course you'd like ultra mega crotch shot.
No, that's not even it.
I was about to say,
that's not
so much focus on the Dak in that
Fuck
shot.
You! Listen
who,
to me.
Who directed this? George
no,
Miller?
Shut up! As he's putting the lock in, there's this awesome shot of the invasion tower standing right behind him.
An awesome shot of his
shut
dick.
Up!
There is an awesome shot
and
of
then
dick.
As he henshins, the camera zooms up so it makes him look like he's overtaken the tower with
his own
power.
I'm gonna say because it's a movie, they probably had more room to, they didn't have to, you gotta make it this quick, so they were allowed to, really get in there.
Yeah, but I absolutely loved that shot.
It was a good shot.
That dick, though.
So much dick.
At least they covered the dick with a new little codpiece that previous Duke formed
that's
in half.
Of, no, that's
and they framed it beautifully.
It was
that's the name of this episode, So Much Dick.
I hate you.
Dead
no.
Dick.
Yeah. Oh.
Episode 60, Perfectly Framed Dick.
well shot,
no,
dick.
No, no, no. We have to save that for the hentai comment
just
episode.
Just to briefly revisit the thing you said, because I didn't even think to say it. Knuckle.
Yeah.
Knuckle, he's just a mass-produced belt, but somehow has a different form completely.
No,
that's
no.
true.
That isn't a Kurokage trooper with the Kurumi Loxia. Completely different rider.
True.
Because
kind of...
because I like to think that when Ryoma was developing all these belts, he programmed, certain suits to each of these belts. So, if Coda would have gotten Baron's... Kaido's driver, he would have had a Baron suit.
Clearly not.
I think it's within the realm of possibility, but without a proper explanation,
then how did we find random fucking belt on the ground that, hey, look, Zangetsu?
Yeah.
I definitely think it's to the person.
The thing is, it's it is a copy based off the data of the Sengoku driver. So if the Sengoku driver did already have the data of, if I go on Takatoa Kurashima and give me this suit, then it's within the realm of possibility.
But what he's replicating is mass-produced. Which shouldn't even have Kuchukshuks in the first place.
Once again, no.
But the thing,
what the Sengoku driver Mega Hex copied at first was Kota's, a Gen 1.
Yeah.
Which means it always was. It was a. He's reproducing Gen 1 Sengoku driver.
Which according to this theory that we're going along, would have had the data of if I go on Takatora Kureshima, spawn the Zangetsu suit.
Yeah. And as I'm saying, because it was initial Kurokage troopers were robots, not people. It didn't code them. No DNA.
Yeah.
Anyways. Either that or it codes to the chassis of the armor that it first is exposed to.
Possibly.
I don't know. We could theorize about it for days. Yeah. But...
I did like the final fight between Ryoma and Zangetsu. That was really cool.
Yeah. No, but the stupidest part of that was the fact that when Ryoma is, like, knocking Zangetsu down and, like, he dehensions and then... Ryugen shows up, like Michi shows up, and out of nowhere pulls melon energy out of his ass, almost literally, and throws it at this was when Mega Hex showed up because the Genesis driver was lying in the rubble. So Michi throws.
Because they took out Ryoma and took his Genesis driver.
So Michi throws Takatora the melon energy.
Yeah, this was fucking awesome, and you fucking know it.
It was stupid and awesome at the same time. Takatora picks up the Genesis driver and holds it in just the right angle so that the melon energy Loxie lands on it.
And then he suits.
Yeah, he suits
like,
up.
Without even actually activating the belt, he puts it on.
No helmet.
The suit spawns without the helmet, and he has enough time to give this speech about, like, whatever the fuck he was talking
about.
And
Megex's fucking sword, he just holds it on his shoulder, like,
all
badass, like, ha, gotcha.
I did it.
And then he actually does soda, and the helmet, like, the fruit chump jumps on. And spins the juice, which knocks Mega Hex away, I guess.
Physics be damned in this physics-defying show.
It was a cool shot, but thinking about the logistics of it, it's fucking stupid.
Think about the logistics of any of this.
Not as stupid as how Michi got Mai out of her captivity after she
was... You know what, though? Michi...
fucking Mega Hex.
You know what, Michi did...
After getting tentacled the
Michi,
fucking hell.
Michi did redeem himself, though. Because he finally was able to save Mai when, you know...
By shooting her! And destroying the glass case she was in!
Okay, let's just put it this way. How does Michi solve problems?
By shooting them the worst possible way!
He solves them the Dick Cheney way. Shoot him in the face.
Pretty much. This is Michi
we're talking
about.
No, he shoots him in the back!
Yeah, this is Michi we're talking about. Who hasn't he shot?
I've been shot by Michi! Look at this!
I don't even know Michi! And I've been shot by Michi.
That should
You're
be
just
the
like,
title.
Hey, how's it going? Bang!
That should be the title. Shot by Michi.
Anyways.
Good job.
I thought it was off.
It's never off. It's the shuriken.
Oh, meanwhile, in the city that apparently is right next to Zawami.
Fuck, man. That was just that thing.
Yeah, like, literally 20 minutes east, we go to the drive section of the movie.
So wait, does that mean that Zawami City... was involved in the global freeze?
I understand what you meant, but just the way that's worded just threw me the fuck off.
What?
20 minutes east.
Guys. Like I said, does this mean that Zawami City was involved in the global freeze if they're right beside each other?
I don't think so.
No, because literally, there's a scene where Tamari looks over at like the tower where Mega Hex is, and
hey,
he's
look,
like,
that
"Oh,
tower
look
over there! What is that?
Yeah.
You were that close to where that thing landed."
So Zawami City had encountered the global
freeze.
Hey, it was a part of it.
There was a story about Zawami on Brain's iPad.
Fair,
yeah.
How come people aren't desensitized to monsters if Zawami City is so close?
They are. Look at what happened with Grita.
That's Sentai universe.
Different. But no,
they've crossed over.
At the same point, hey, remember that Invest invasion?
People are still talking like...
Remember that worldwide Invest invasion that happened?
Remember how America got blown the fuck up?
Yeah, where the fuck was Proto Drive during that, huh?
blurry. How the fuck was Steinbelt making America? Belts in America? When America was a nuclear crater.
Wait, Chase, you helped out defend the city from an investigation? Yeah? Why didn't you tell us? You never asked.
A week after fucking Light Red does it. I noticed that. I was like, congratulations, both shows have used that trope this year.
We did it, guys.
Valuable information. Why did you not give us this? Nobody asked. And everyone's just unanimous. Shit, they're right. They're right. We didn't ask.
Yeah,
stupid me.
Difference is Chase has done it multiple times now.
Yeah.
And they still haven't asked him.
Yeah. No, I don't know. They're dumb.
Hey, Chase, give us all the info on all the Royd Mutes you can. Okay.
Broad as possible. So, the movie starts with the cops chasing Ultimate Lupin, the Thief of Legend. And because they're so bad at it, they get threatened with disbandment, and there's this awesome shot where all of the group are immediately warped to a desert in front of an explosion.
No, that was my favorite, because they're just in the middle of a field, not even having a tea party, just at their desks. It's the office
setup. It's the exact same setup.
In a field, and they're all just chilling.
Boom!
Yeah. And then everyone's
best imagery ever.
What was the reasoning behind that? They're like being terminated, shut down or something?
If they don't
like
catch Lupin, they're terminated.
Yeah. So they're terminated. So literally,
fucking
them
hero.
Getting terminated to them feels like them getting hit by a monster attack.
All I can say, oh no, somebody's threatening to terminate them. Fucking Nero.
He's not even in the show yet, and he's fucking with them.
This movie happens in like the early 10s.
I know. He's not even in the show yet, and he's still fucking with
them. I'm sitting here pissed.
We did see who he was talking to.
Let Paul speak.
Ultimate fucking Lupin.
Oh yeah, I bet you have a lot to say.
Stupid freaking name. Honestly, I
disagree.
I'm a Lupin the Third fan. And I like Lupin the Third a lot. And the first thing I said when I saw, I also like Detective Conan. The first thing I said when I saw this guy was like, Kaito Kid?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Why is Kaito Kid here?
Yeah. Why is Kaito Kid Lupin?
Yeah. He's not Lupin. Did anyone here watch Lupin?
No.
I've seen a bit. Fuck. Can we just talk for a minute about how fucking Oda's Zenigata in this movie?
Yes.
My favorite thing, the fucking chase scene, where Lupin's in the fucking, driving the fucking truck during slowdown.
And he's on the side, he's like,
and he's climbing on the side of the truck, just like, Lupin! I'm just like, Zenigata, what?
Were you?
No, I just like seeing Gen just fucking riding on Midnight Shadow. Just
like, after Lupin fucks him off, he gets caught and saved by the Midnight Shadow.
I gotta say, though, like, Gen's not like the greatest fucking cop, but I love his ability to never give the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
He has such determination, and I love that about him.
I love him.
Just, I got you now, Lupin! Oh, shit!
A little something that I noticed earlier in this part of the movie is when the police and the Trideron are deploying, like, they're all driving across a bridge, and Trideron, for some reason, is just fuck everyone driving in the middle between lanes.
Yeah.
No, but... And it still pisses me off, like, they should know, like, see that it's... He's drives car.
Yeah, we've talked about that forever. No one's gonna pick up on it.
Nobody knows.
The point is,
nobody knew it was drives car, because no one's seen drive or his car properly because slow down.
Yeah.
They can't turn their fucking head.
All right, now I'm gonna get into my favorite part of this entire, like, part of the drive section of the movie. Because we find out that apparently Krim was originally going to be the next drive because he made a Royd Mute body for himself to put his mind and conscious, like his mind and
presumably
stuff
before
into.
Chase was Proto Drive because he was the belt when Proto Drive happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which is apparently Royd Mute 3Z.
Yes,
Z.
Because he's asleep.
Yes. Yeah, in a fucking coffin.
But that's so fucking cool, though. Like, it was cool that Krim was originally, like...
Yeah, I would have been totally okay with that.
That would have been awesome.
That does explain why when he took over Type Trideron, he was like, and bamf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. But yeah, apparently Lupin found said Roidmune body, stole it.
Yeah,
and
this is an actual Lupin character named Zork Tojo, who is like a really old man at this point, and he found the 3Z body and fused with it somehow before the actual red viral cores were a thing, which really confuses me.
Yeah, so he
because it was part of the design of the damn thing, because Krim was going to do it.
I guess.
Yeah, makes sense. But that I like. That was a really cool like plot point, and
yeah.
I like that a lot.
And making the weirdest logic leap ever, after succeeding at gaining immortality, his next thought is, "I want to be a superhero."
Yeah. So
his entire
reasoning for destroying Drive is just because I don't like how you fucking do shit.
I think I can do better. I am the greatest thief in the
anything
world.
I just stole
immortality.
Anything
What's
you can do,
next?
I can do better. I can do anything.
I
want to
be a superhero.
I will steal the title of Kamen Rider. But yeah, there was one thing that we didn't mention. There was a chase scene before that where he's chasing the truck, and Lupin drops a car in the road in front of him, and there's like this wide-ass road that they're on, and the car explosion that has stopped him is very, very narrow, and my immediate thought was, drive around it, you fuck!
Oh yeah, when the
car
dropped, Paul like was like mesmerized by that.
I died.
It was actually a pretty good practical effect, though.
It was, but it was also really funny.
There was a camera in that car when they dropped it. That was cool.
Yeah, like that they had a crane and everything for
like
this.
Like, you just see the car, like, it's actually a really cool shot from the inside that you see the perspective of the car going upwards. It's really subtle. But then all of a sudden, it just cuts to this scene of a car just full tilt, vertical drop into another car. And I died because it was just so sudden and the editing was just so quick. Like, from one to the other, fucking cracked me up.
So, as they're walking through the manor, which is pretty much the same set as...
Oh my god, every other manor.
The Toku Manor, that's what I fucking call it.
I call it Villain Manor. It's the same manor that the Greed from Oz hung out in, and the Kureshima family manor for time.
I'd like to know what it actually is in real life. Like, what are they, like, is it a real person's residence? Is it like
I don't know.
Is it like a hall? That would be nice to know.
But within one of the halls, they go through all this backstory, and Chase shows up just in time for us to get introduced to Kamen Rider Lupin. Who is gorgeous.
He's fabulous.
I gotta say, I really love his henshin sequence, because, like, he kind of just, like, shoots fucking, like, diamonds and gems and stuff into the air, and then all kind of, like, forms into the suit, and it's really cool.
And
that awesome theme song that just goes on.
If Liberace was a toku, was a rider.
He's got a mustache and everything.
If Liberace was playing Hercule Poirot, who was also a Kamen Rider...
It is the most Kira Kira henshin of all time.
I really like it, though, too, because his first fight was not with Drive, but with Chase.
Which is great, because they both have the same data.
But, Chaser gets his ass kicked, because he's going full gun, like, shooting him, and it's not doing anything.
He traps him in place with, like, film powers.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I respect
that. That was the one thing, because I picked up the Lupin Gunner, like, a day before... we got the movie.
Yeah. When we bought it, that was the day the movie got subbed.
Yeah, so...
I just got the pun for the film thing. Shoots on film.
But that's just it. It was like, I was playing around with it. I was like, it's got the same functions as the Brake Gunner.
Apparently,
kind of, like, well,
not
just,
really.
I just mean as far as weapon functionality.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, cool, gun. This gun did not shoot once. Its gun mode does something else, which is totally...
No, he shot as they were, like, doing the side shot.
I don't remember that.
He did.
I remember...
Chase switched the gun first,
but
then...
He also shot Belt Sam.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that happened.
Wasn't that the Hisots with the blade, though?
No. The Hisots with the blade is what de-henshin him, but then as Tomari was getting back up... Like, he switched the gun and shot, and then the belt was like, bleh, fling
okay.
in front
no.
of the attack.
Because my memory of gun was that stupid film reel technique thingy he did.
Shoots on film.
He did do that, but that he did shoot regularly as guns. Stop
also, shooting the gun to summon mooks.
Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting. Just boom, boom, you see film reels with Roy Muse on them, and then the film disappears.
And you were mentioning the cool thing about the toy is, even after you put the Lupin blade in, you can switch between gun and blade.
Yeah, it swaps breakout for blade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's really cool.
I'm gonna shoot. I'm gonna shoot my gun, and people are gonna pop out. You mean like the end?
Shh, don't do that.
He was. The end, but he was also a thief, and his name was Kaito.
Should have a Dien Lupin movie.
No, none of that.
I'd be okay with that.
It's like.
Of course,
it's like we need
would.
The Drive double movie.
But yeah, so the belt flings itself off Shinosuke to take the hit and gets fucked up. And then they decide to comfort it by putting it on a pillow in the drive.
And Mach shows up after they all leave and he's just like, don't worry about son, I got this. But I don't.
I love how the fucking shift cars, like, click this one button on the belt son's, like, little stand. And apparently that's the goddamn montage button. Because it shows a bunch of Drive's really inspirational moments. And then he's like, if I don't man up and do this shit, the Tokujo branch is doomed. And my thought was, that's your concern? Your job? Not the lives of anyone?
How bad must fucking Shinosuke's self-esteem problems be?
If they have a montage.
That they have a montage of all of his best moments.
Because every movie needs
a
montage.
Every Kamen Rider needs a demo reel.
Remember just when you almost sacrificed yourself to kill Hart?
Oh, no. Go watch the fucking montage again. It'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
Kiriko, I was badass, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then came the most...
The weirdest
the
little
best
reveal.
Part of the movie.
Oh, God. Just calls up all the Tokujo guys. Like, I've got Lupin cornered. Come meet me here. Everybody shows up. He walks in behind them, locks the door, pulls the detective. The criminal is in this room!
And then the captain's like, that's so cool! I always wanted to say that line.
And everyone
wanted to hear you say that.
Everyone looks again.
Wait, what?
No,
what
just everyone looks again.
What do you mean it's one
I don't get why they did, though. Everyone suddenly looked at Gen.
Because he's the dumb one.
Also, he was also the one that was closest to him at the car.
I guess.
Might have pulled a switch there.
Yeah, there's that. And then Drive's like, no! I'll tell you who it is.
It's Kiriko!
It's Kiriko! Why? Because she was smiling before and she doesn't fucking do that!
No, so then, yes, it's true. And then Lupin's like, oh, you got me.
Oh,
pulls
you got
off
me.
Kiriko's
pulls
face.
Off the face.
In the most sudden reveal that startled everyone.
Fucking Jacken Hakkar over here, like, just one of the faceless men.
I'll just say this. When me and Ichi saw that when we watched the Raw, we both screamed simultaneously. We're just,
And that's why that shot is the thumbnail for this
you
episode.
You got rid of the only good thing about her. She has a cute face and not a hell of a lot else going on.
I don't know. She's a nice body. I think Tom would agree.
Yeah.
Tom would agree with anything.
I don't know.
Unless he disagrees with it. Then
yeah.
he disagrees
and then he just
with
write
it
a
real
lengthy
hard.
Vice. Then he just write a lengthy Facebook.
So thing. Then Lupin's like, shit, I gotta get the fuck out of here. How does he escape? On a balloon!
Breaks through the glass.
Out
and
the window.
Just, jumps on a platform attached to a balloon that somehow was already there.
And I just heard him I could just hear him just going, ha 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 ha.
How do you escape? Happy thoughts.
Yeah, Lupin's laugh was fucking hilarious.
So, Lupin's getting away on this platform attached to a balloon.
Oh,
and how does Drive decide to fight? By flinging the Trideron at him to slingshot himself onto the platform and letting the Trideron sink into the
Paul's
fucking
heart,
water.
Like just died.
Instead of, you know, shooting the balloon.
Yeah, with all of the weapons that he has.
Or just his gun, shaped like a door.
Oh, and apparently Kiriko's hanging from a building.
I think a normal pistol would take this thing down.
Like, the thing, like, the assumption is...
Spider-Man.
Like, they tell us that Kiriko was switched out a long time ago, so she's presumably been hanging from this skyscraper for most of the movie!
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if, like, the church was, like, near the building she was hanging, so as they're entering the building, Shinosuke!
Yeah.
That
would
have been funny.
Spider-Mute.
So then, Lupin knocks over, like, tomorrow, obviously, and he's just trying to jumpstart Belt-san. Like,
as he's
literally.
Falling to his death!
He's twisting the key.
So then, he tries it again.
Fucking alternator! I thought I replaced that!
All the shift cars are just spinning around him, and all I'm just thinking is, die, 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 Shulga!
And then it's like, All right, hey, belt sand's working again suddenly. Okay, let's do this.
Start our engine!
Falls through the glass...
lands perfectly okay.
No, falls through a freaking sunroof of a building. Not henshined yet.
Yeah, totally okay.
Comes through, henshins after, immediately thereafter, hits the ground. I'm like, I'm good.
No, then Kiriko's falling.
Don't need Mad Doctor later.
He unhenshins. There's shards of glass in his face.
I need Mad Doctor in a minute.
Luckily, my neck broke my fall.
And as Kiriko's falling, I just see Paul just like, catch her.
Try her on.
Followed
immediately by one of the most awesome Trideron moments ever.
Yeah, so after grabbing Kiriko, the Trideron type technic busts this fucking spider roidnude and fucking grabs it and jams it the fuck into the
fucking
ground.
Pile driver, the motherfucker.
RKO's it! No, RKO's the roidnude!
No.
Fuck!
No, it didn't. That's not how that worked. It picked it up, it pile drivered the fucker into the ground head first, and then whipped it at a fucking stone pillar.
Yeah, that was so awesome!
And then it died.
That was best ever!
Yeah, quick little nitpick. Drive, like, was using Trideron type wild. I'm like, no.
To get over the flaming wreckage that he couldn't drive around!
He's using the Nolan Batmobile. Leave him alone.
Well, Trideron type wild is my favorite because it's a Doom Buggy.
Looks like
everybody loves Doom Buggies.
It looks like the Nolan Bat.
So anyways, Machine Chaser and Drive team up and they defeat Lupin. And then the core gets away.
Wait. Before that, sorry, quickly. I love Chaser just being like, yeah, this is the only time we're gonna work together. Tomorrow, like, puts his hand on him.
Good, thank you. Don't touch me.
Oh my god, you get your hand off me right now.
Get out of my bubble.
I still hate you.
This is the only time we're ever going to work together.
Totally.
Right, K, that's what's going
immediate
on.
Immediate shove-in of that comment from this week's episode. You don't have to thank me.
Don't every touch guy. My tail, you make it dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll scratch the paint.
Surprised Shinosuke's never, like, complained. Like, he's never said that. Like, he's like, oh, don't scratch my car's paint or something.
That's because he kicks their asses too quick. I don't know.
He does.
Anyways, so they defeat Lupin. And, the
and then
is,
Mega Heck shows up.
No, the funny thing is the core, like, floats away,
yeah,
like, really quick, but the body doesn't die. It just, like, flops onto its knees and then falls. And, yeah, then Mega Heck shows up and absorbs it.
And now he can use Roid Mutes.
Oh, no.
Which apparently makes him easier to kill.
By Drive.
Sure.
Because natural advantage against things with those cores.
Yeah, they try fighting Mega X again, then Mega X is like, oh, I'm like, oh no, it's in my sleeve. Baron, haha!
But Baron immediately turns on him.
No, that thing I called the second Baron got summoned. It's like, now, Kaito, do my bidding!
No.
Immediately turns around and whacks Mega X.
Oh. Yep.
I'm just like,
weak motherfucker.
I fucking called that
like
the second he showed up.
I like how the comment you made was was added sound effects.
I know, right?
Your phone dropping.
Yep. No, it's just, the second he popped out, I was like, there's no way Kaito's gonna listen to fucking Mega Hex. It's fucking Kaito. I don't care if he was summoned by him or not, robot or not.
Yep.
Kaito's going to fucking turn on, and sure enough, immediate whack to the face.
And then we get this scene where the five riders, Gaim, Drive, Baron, Ryugen, and Zangetsu are fighting all of, like, the Roid Mutes and the Invest.
I think it would have been hilarious if in the lineup, just Mai was just there, too. Just like, here, guys.
I'm a god.
The funniest bit is as they're fighting, the Trideron just like drives through the crowd and nails a shit ton of them.
Oh my god.
I was waiting for that this entire series. Like,
why doesn't the car just run things over?
Like, Grand Theft Auto.
It'll scratch the paint.
No, it is. It's true for. It's bad for the undercarriage.
Okay.
Too much blood in the undercarriage will rust.
There's no blood, they're robots.
No, Kodas hears Beltson talk. Did your belt just fucking talk?
My favorite line in this entire movie is just as Gaim and Drive are introducing themselves to one another. It's like, hey, I'm Kamen Rider Drive. Hey, I'm Koda. I'm Kamen Rider Gaim. How do I put this? I think I'm a space god, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We mentioned that earlier, but yeah, that's great.
Maybe.
Which was funny, because Lane persisted in calling him a space god the entire fucking movie.
Yeah.
Before that.
Hey, it's fact.
And then it happened, and Coda fucking said it. I was like, oh, okay. We're actually going with that term now, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
How much you want to bet that this entire show is just one big monologue on Mormonism?
Well, now that you say it.
The funny thing is, you can't even blame the suburbs for that, because he actually said, Uchu no Kami-sama.
I know, right?
So that's actually what he said.
I'm a god in space.
So Scientology, then.
No, I prefer to think of it as Mormons, because he did literally go through this entire long-ass journey to become a space god and get to the planet. I love how
Trideron type for just the DeLorean.
Yep.
That's all it is. It turns the Trideron into the DeLorean.
Yeah, like, I'm watching like roads where we're going. We don't need roads.
Before that, there's one thing I wanted to bring up. I love how in this big mass battle that's happening, Heart, Brain, and Chase show up to help them, because fuck it.
Yeah.
And they're coming.
We are all about individuality.
Which is bullshit, because anytime any Roid Mute shows a hint of unique personality, Chase fucking deletes him.
It's almost like they were here for fan service.
So it's individuality when convenient.
Yes.
They're villains! They're allowed to be hypocrites!
I know, I just wanted to point that out.
Sure. But can I just say right now that for the ending climax of this bullshit, after they turned the Trideron into the DeLorean-eron, they decided
DeLorean?
They decided to fly through the giant space vagina from the Avengers up to the Death Star, where they rode the trench, shot a bunch of things.
You know what? You know what that scene needed?
What?
So use the Force Drive.
Shut up, me.
Coda. Let go. Let go, Tamari.
Dun, dun,
like,
dun,
shut
dun,
up, space dun, god.
I love how Drive was insisting that the space god wear a seatbelt.
I know, right? Make sure you buckle up, Mr.
And
space god.
And to make it even worse, they even cut to a far shot of it and a big fucking Death Star explosion, and I couldn't help but shout, yeah, great shot, kid! One in a million!
Let's go home!
Like I've said before, I really like... I don't know, that's some guy with a fucking RC car.
Cut this part out, Dave.
The fuck even?
I don't know.
Who cares? As I've said before, I really like Type Fruits. It's like one of my favorite Drive forms. I think it's cool.
Oh no, I like it a lot.
You know what? I didn't like it at first, but after watching it fight, I kinda like
Type Fruits.
The Amigasa cool. I had is pretty neat.
The only thing I like about Gaim Drive Arms is just the R crest.
That's the one part I don't like.
I love it.
I like the shoulders.
It's really unique. But the funniest part was when they're like, alright, let's get in the Trideron.
Our promo forms don't fit. We had to switch back to base form.
Yes. Because, why not?
Yeah, so Coda just goes orange arms again for the first time in forever, just cause.
Yeah,
just cause
the helmet won't fit.
Just, like, riding a bike.
Oh, like, why not Kiwami? The helmet won't fit.
As they're flying away. Oh, we gotta defeat these enemies, Baron's just like, not before I do!
Yeah, so, process this. It took the combined power of Drive Arms and Type Fruits to defeat one of them, and Baron, not even sparking, uses Banana Squash and takes out a fucking wave of them in one shot!
That's Baron's a fucking boss.
Bullshit!
No, also bullshit. Upgraded with Mega Hex.
Tech. Yeah, really.
Okay, I'll accept that.
He's kind of got summoned by Mega Hex. He's allowed to be OP for a few
minutes. Accept that.
But yeah, they destroy Mega Hex with a fucking orange tire double juice kick.
That's actually what they call
it. That's what they called
it. After skidding juice out of their tire in the giant Batroid Mute's face.
It's like our brain like, what are we hey, let's throw juice at it. Machines can't get wet. Is that how that works? Is that how that works?
And then Heart, Brain, and Chaser leave, but Heart just like quickly dings a fake Roid Mute on his way
out. On his way out.
That has to have been like an ad lib from the act.
That was so great.
Ding.
Yeah, Heart's big thumping Heart shoulder at dings one of the dead
just
on the way
one
out.
Of those, that moment where after Mega Hex has blown up, all the robots that were made from it just go lifeless and limp.
So then,
another Star Wars reference.
Including Baron.
Yes, that was sad.
Just that moment of, you know, fucking Kaito was back for a brief glorious battle and then just
flops over.
Like still standing there like a badass, just head kind of cocked down because went limp.
That was a great shot.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, Man died on his feet, a badass, again.
And then Coda and Mai decide to go back to their plan, but then everyone, like, Orin and all of them are just like, no, come on, you're here, stay with us for a little bit.
For a bit.
Watch my planet. Stand. Needs me.
Yes, it actually did, because Mega Hex.
It did, in fact.
We do kind of have to clean up the Mega Hex.
And then Lupin's alive.
Yeah. We've made a lot of my planet needs me jokes, but in this particular case, no, his planet did in fact need him, and so
he kind of got. It's kind of really great. Yeah. All those bunnies, birds, and squirrels are in dire need of him.
I know,
and
right?
Best, good.
Hey, Dr. Eggman will take over. I'm sorry,
that's terrible.
But no, the end of the movie was probably my most interesting bit was the fact that apparently Lupin did survive by taking another viral core and mentioned something about stealing Kiriko's smile on his way out.
Because he took a picture of it.
Yeah.
Also, he found a moment when she was actually smiling, took a picture of it, and he's like, ha-ha, I stole her smile.
Yeah.
I've one-upped you again!
But
I'm hoping we see him again.
I'm really happy about this ending because I hope it does mean we'll see Lupin again.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Next movie wars, probably.
Well, hopefully. And apparently the sounds of the universe agree with us. They're going, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah, sorry about that, folks.
Sorry about the noise in the background, folks. We don't know what that is.
I think he's sawing something.
Some asshole is either sawing something or driving an RC car.
Now I understand what MMPR Toys goes through every fucking day.
So yeah, that's the movie. It was pretty fucking great.
It was cool. I liked it.
I dug it.
It doesn't beat Ultimatum for me, but it was still a really good movie.
I disqualify Ultimatum for the plot twist.
Fuck you.
I disqualify Ultimatum because Forza.